beach, boys.
I'm Sarah Warmby. The federal government has revised the citizenship code to make it compulsory for all councils to hold citizenship ceremonies on Australia Day. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has told the Sunday Telegraph the government will protect our national day and ensure it is respected. Under changes to the Australian Citizenship Ceremonies Code to be introduced in 2020, councils must hold a second citizenship ceremony on September 17, Australian Citizen Day, and new citizens will have to abide by a strict dress code that bans board shorts and thongs. Three signs over two Melbourne roads have been taken down for testing as part of an audit after one came crashing down on a woman's car. Signs from gantries on CityLink and the Westgate Freeway were taken down last night because they were of similar structure and installed by the same contractors who put up the one that fell on a woman's car on the Tullamarine Freeway near Essendon Airport on Tuesday. Vic Roads says the signs show no evidence of stress or any immediate concern, but they were installed by CPB contractors, which was used by Transurban as part of the CityLink Tullamarine widening project. And Vic Roads believes that these particular signs should be removed for closer inspection and further testing. New South Wales will swelter under temperatures in the high 30s today, prompting total fire bans from the Rural Fire Service. RFS Inspector Ben Shepherd has told Macquarie the fire bans in place are in the northern slopes and northwestern regions.
So that affects areas basically like Inverell and Tamworth, Moreang, Coonabarabran. We're expecting temperatures to be in the high 30s, maybe even the early 40s, but it's these quite gusty easterly winds that are whipping up this fire danger into very high and severe.
And in Western Australia today, there's a total fire ban for the Midwest Gascoyne, Goldfields, Midlands and Great Southern regions. Police are scaling back the search around Alice Springs for missing German tourist Monica Billen, who they have been unable to find after 5 days of looking. The 62-year-old woman has now been missing for nearly 2 weeks. Overseas law enforcement officials reportedly became so concerned by President Donald Trump's behaviour in the days after he fired FBI Director James Comey that they began investigating whether he had been working for Russia against US interests. The New York Times report published yesterday cites unnamed former law enforcement officials and other familiar with the investigation. Adam Goldman was one of the journalists who worked on the story.
When the FBI started investigating President Trump in the days after Comey was fired, there were two elements essentially to the investigation. One was the criminal element that dealt with the possible obstruction, and the other was the counterintelligence element to this. I think while broadly people had assumed that, you know, Mueller was looking at whether the president himself had in some way conspired or colluded with the Russians, you know, nobody had ever laid out exactly what happened, but that's what we sought to do with this story.
Briefly, police and witnesses say many people are dead in Nigeria after an oil tanker overturned and exploded while people were scooping up leaking fuel. And 20 people are trapped underground in northwest China after the roof of a coal mine collapsed. This is Air News. Australia's reserve paceman and recall batsman stood up to shock India by 34 runs at the SCG when Rohit Sharma scored 133 but couldn't overhaul the host 5 for 288 in the one-day international series opener. Usman Khawaja scored 59 during his first ODI in almost 2 years, while Peter Hanscom, playing his first ODI in 15 months, top scored with 73 after Aaron Finch opted to bat. Sean Marsh says he's happy with the team's efforts.
Yeah, I thought, you know, Usman Khawaja batted really well today, and I thought Petey Hanscom showed his class with that great knock in the middle and towards the end, and to, you know, to back it up with the ball and in the field was, you know, really good effort.
Game 2 will take place on Tuesday in Adelaide. Meantime, South Africa were 5 for 135 against Pakistan at stumps in their second innings at Wanderers Stadium today. Overlooked Socceroos Terry Antonis and James Troisi have fired Melbourne Victory to a 2-1 A-League win over Newcastle Jets. Troisi thundered home under Antonis' silky opener and Kane Shepherd's reply in a grand final rematch at Amy Park last night. The game played out similarly to last May's championship game. A tight affair victory were lucky to edge. In the other game, the Phoenix beat the Central Coast Mariners 3-2. In the EPL, there were wins for West Ham, Southampton, Liverpool, Burnley and Watford. And in the NBL, the Brisbane Bullets beat the Adelaide 36ers 102-90. Australian Independent Radio News.
Fertile grass, rich soils and expert horse people give New Zealand thoroughbreds a winning edge. Graduates of New Zealand Bloodstock's yearling sales scored 120 stakes wins and 18 Group 1 wins last season alone. They've laid claim to the last five consecutive Australian Oaks and five out of the seven Australasian Group 1 guineas last season. Destined for racetrack stardom, over 1,200 yearlings are on offer at Karaka this summer. New Zealand Bloodstock, where winning begins.
60 months interest-free. No deposit, no interest with 60 equal monthly payments until January 2024. Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance. Furniture and bedding, home appliances, televisions and technology. Minimum financed amount $1,000. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. 60 months interest-free store-wide. Big brands, big savings. No deposit, no interest with 60 equal monthly payments until January 2024. Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance on now. No.
Australia. They win by 34 runs.
Liverpool players trying to get back. They've left Jimenez here. Can he finish? Into the corner. Brilliantly done. Wolves have the advantage.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Welcome to the program. Hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. I know we are in here at French's Forest, aren't we, Raymond? Having a great start. We're really looking forward to the next 3 hours.
Are you in a good mood yet or what?
Yet? What do you mean?
We've hardly spoken a word in our hour prior. Our pre-show pep
we
talk didn't work this morning.
For the program. Now 7 minutes
almost
past
shunned.
Seven.
I felt shunned.
Oh, dear. Anyway.
We've got a fire up. It's a fire up. Let's go. Big show now. Who we got on, James?
He said it wasn't a big show. It's always going to be a big show. You know why it's the big show?
I'm trying to pick you up.
You know why it's the big show? It's the next show.
Correct.
And that's what we've got ahead of us in the next 3 hours. We're looking forward to taking your calls on 1353-53. We've got the race replays. We'll get through them and then we'll move forward and we'll speak to John.
You're in a shocking mood today. You've got to lighten up.
Judy will be on the SMS
magic
very shortly, won't she?
Oh, and she's entitled to, unless your mood improves.
Anyone who's heard over the last minute would think, no, the boys are fine. The previous hour, frosty, I would say, would be the reception that
I'll just rephrase that.
Okay.
James was not in his usual talkative mood the hour prior.
John O'Shea had a great win with Live and Free yesterday at Randwick. This is going to be interesting. I tell you what, we are lucky enough. We're going to speak to Peter Tai, part owner of Winx, who is currently in Los Angeles.
Correct.
And so we can look forward to that.
Do you know why he's in Los Angeles?
You're going to tell me.
Because Winx has won a global poll called the Secretariat Vox Populi Award,
right,
which is voted by racing fans around the globe for the world's most popular racehorse through 2018. First time an Australian horse has won the award.
Where do most of the votes come from? What part of the world?
Northern Hemisphere.
Right.
Mm. Which is why it's significant.
Which is why it's hard for the Australian horse to win, and
correct,
therefore significant that Winx is winning.
And so they are being presented that award very, very shortly at famous Santa Anita racetrack in Southern California.
All right, we'll grab Peter Tye and have a chat to him about that. That'd be great. I'm glad you've got that, Ray. We're all excited about that.
Is that why you're in a bad mood this morning?
Well, hang on. Why do you keep going on with this suggestion, this claim?
Tanya says move on.
This falsification of about a bad man. Peter Peters will be on. He'll brighten the mood, which will be great. Bjorn Baker had a winner. A couple, in fact.
Two million.
Yeah.
Winners.
One of them paid $23. Mm. So he'll be happy this morning. We'll have the double book quiz. You know what the double book quiz is, Ray?
It's your chance to win. Is it, how many cartons are we going for this year? Four, is it?
It's my chance to win. I'm currently leading 1-0, by the way. The Winx book, as written by you.
Mm.
You going to sign that one?
If the winner wants it.
And a sports year diary, courtesy of sportsyear.com.au. So we can look forward to that as well. And then we'll also have Leo Schlink on the program. He's our tennis expert, and we are gearing up for what's going to be a fantastic Australian Open, especially given the fact that there are some Australians who we hope and believe will actually make a dent.
Can go deep into the tournament.
And we're not even talking about Nick Kyrgios and Bernard Tomic from that point of view. Ash Barty and, of course, Alex Diminor. Phil Moss will give us all the latest from the world of football. A result for Liverpool overnight, 1-0.
7 points clear, James.
Brighton and Hove Albion, so it was from the spot. Doesn't matter. Still means they get the 3 points. And we'll have a chat with Trent Lanscar from tab.com.au. We'll get a sports update from Tanya as well. So it's the regular program, but regular programming was not on at the SCG yesterday. There were 37,000 people in attendance, and I reckon, being there live myself, I reckon minimum 25,000 were Indian supporters.
Were you there, were you?
Yes.
Okay. Australia had a win, which is also not regular programming this summer.
They only won two ODIs last year.
Extraordinary. That's Australia. The sixth, which I think is the lowest they've ever been in the ODI rankings. But there's, I know one swallow doesn't make a summer, Jane, but there were some good signs yesterday.
What were they?
Well, the new ball behind attack brought a real energy and verve to that top order. Jai Richardson.
Good player, isn't he?
I liked him.
What about the shape that he got away?
I liked him. And his energy.
Yeah.
And just look at his face. He wanted the ball. He wanted the ball at the start. He wanted the ball in the death overs. I thought he was fantastic. I thought Behrendorf bowled well.
Yes.
Great signs. Marcus Stoinis. Gee, if he's not Australia's best all-rounder, surely he's knocking on the door for test selection.
Are you serious?
Don't you think he is?
I don't think he's suited to test cricket at all.
Gee, I think he's a good player. I think he's a fantastic player. And
what's he in for, his batting or his bowling?
Well, probably his bowling first, but he can hold a six or seven at least, you know. And I think he can. He's a potential test player. You don't agree?
I'm not convinced. 13-53-53. So Richardson looks more like a test player than Marcus Stoinis.
And where does he come in for?
Well, he's only in for one of the bowlers.
Mm. Is he
better than Stark, Hazelwood or Cummins?
Well, not better than Cummins.
Probably not at this point.
Yeah, and I don't think he'd pick him ahead of Stark or Hazelwood, but I dare say he could go on the Ashes tour.
Yes.
And then see how he goes over there.
Absolutely. Beautiful shape away from the batsman, from the right-hander, I thought that. And that pace, too.
Yeah.
Peter Siddle played in this game, 8 overs, 1 for 48. It was 8 years between games in a yellow shirt for Peter Siddle. 169 games have been played in that time. He couldn't get a start, and now he's back. To be honest, I don't know why he's back. But
we've gone back to the future, haven't we?
He played. Look, he bowled okay in a really good win for Australia, as you mentioned. 5 for 288.
And Nathan Lyon back as an ODI player too.
As he should be.
Took none for 50, but still bowled well, and he should be in that team. Overall, pretty decent performance. I was wondering whether 288 was enough. Did you think it was enough?
Yes.
Did you? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In saying that, watching Rohit Sharma go,
wow!
I tell you what.
Whilst he was in, I still put India a chance.
Yes.
Yeah. And
the clean hitting.
Oh, he's extraordinary.
The one onto the roof at the SCG.
And he does it so easily and so effortlessly.
Yeah.
And yet he can't seem to translate that same efficiency of scoring runs at the test level. It's extraordinary. Yet, as an ODI player, there's none better in world cricket.
Absolutely. Big win for that. One of the talking points was Glenn Maxwell batting at 7.
Mm. It's low, isn't it?
It's Ferrari in the garage type stuff.
Potential match winner way down low. But in saying that, the two test discards batted well yesterday. Sean Marsh and Peter Hanscom. Hanscom top score with a 73. Khawaja hit a stylish 59. My man Stoinis comes in with 47 late, some clean hitting. Your man Maxwell batting at 7 didn't get much of a chance.
No.
Overall, pretty decent performance by the Australians. And now go to game two, hopefully to win the series. The test team, what did you make of the test team? A couple of surprise selections. For the squad for Sri Lanka.
Yeah, we've spoken about it. Will Pekulski, I think he's going to play in this test match too. I'd be surprised if Renshaw was going to play. So Pekulski is going to play. Is he ready? 8 first-class games. Question mark around mental health, and I know we need to be careful when we're discussing that. However, he admitted himself. This was the direct quote from Will Pekulski.
Yep.
It's a day-by-day proposition for me now that I have to manage.
Mm.
Gee.
Extraordinary for a young man.
You want to load a little bit extra stress on someone? Pick them in a test match at the Gabba.
Yeah.
Look, let's hope that everything's okay. Clearly a talented player.
Mm.
Clearly a talented player. And the other concern is he keeps getting hit.
Yeah, I know, in the head. Where does he bat? Because the noise isn't going to play.
Yeah.
There. So who misses out, Burns or Renshaw?
No, Burns will play. Renshaw would miss out, I would have thought. Yeah. So what's going to happen is Burns will play. The other opener will be
Harris.
Marcus Harris.
He's
and then
had a good
and
series.
Kouadri will bat three.
Yep.
And then they'll go from there.
Pekowski four?
Pekowski four or five.
Travis Head stays in.
Yeah. Labuschagne is after the really good performance of 38 at three. He got down to six.
I feel sorry for him. He was thrown to the wolves at SCG test. But does he keep his spot?
Yeah.
Ahead of Burns?
No.
You got Burns batting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Renshaw's out. Renshaw's out.
Rather than have two lefties top of the order.
Do you want to know the numbers? Do you want to know the numbers around Renshaw and Burns?
Renshaw hasn't done much in first-class cricket this summer.
No, he's averaging 19.
Yeah.
11 tests for Renshaw, one century, averaging 33. 14 tests for Burns, three centuries, averaging 37.
And he was stiff to get dropped. Actually, both were, Renshaw and Burns.
So. Yes. So there you go. So it'll be very, very interesting to see how they go against Sri Lanka. The other thing about it is, it's a day-night test match, so you want your three fast bowlers bowling with the pink ball, so they're going to be hard to handle against the Sri Lankan side that's got no Angelo Matthews.
Yeah, and...
one of their star players.
And struggled in New Zealand against the moving ball, big time. That's right.
So that's going to be a tough one for them. Two tests coming up with that one, so we'll be interested in that as well.
Okay, Steve Smith.
Yes.
Big news coming out of... he's back home in Australia now, potentially for surgery on his elbow after injuring it in the Bangladesh T20 competition. How long is he out for? Does this put his World Cup plans or Australia's World Cup plans in jeopardy, potentially Ashes?
Yes.
Yes.
Needs to get back and play cricket.
He won't get much chance, will he?
No.
So minimum 6 weeks apparently in a sling.
Yeah.
Post-surgery, so he won't get much chance to put bat on ball.
So that's going to be really, really interesting to see how that plays out and what Justin Langer can do to get him back into the side, because I don't think there's any doubt between you or I that he should
straight
be in the World Cup squad and he should be in the Ashes squad.
Straight back.
Just a matter of getting him some cricket. Strikes me as a guy that wouldn't need too much, although getting older.
Pat Cummins, I think, that we were talking that Steve Smith came and had a net with the Australians recently. First couple of balls, a little bit behind. Within a couple of six or seven balls, he's right back on speed, playing the shots he was a year ago. So your point, very, very valid. The tennis was quickly, Alex de Minaur, shining light again. He was fantastic last night. Love watching him play. He's full of energy, full of verve. No ball was out of play for him.
Yeah,
he chases everything down.
In the week that Andy Murray announces to the tennis world that he's giving it away, and we spoke on this program last week, he was limping around everywhere at the Brisbane
International.
He's
struggling, isn't he?
Yeah.
He broke down. It means so much to him, the poor guy.
Of course.
But he's hoping to get to Wimbledon.
Yeah, and that would be a fitting farewell, depending on how long he stayed in the tournament. But if he's currently the way he is at the moment, you just wonder about that. But he exits and enters Alex de Minaur. I know he's been around for a couple of weeks, but Andreas Seppi, a real professional, been around forever, 7-5, 7-6, de Minaur gets the job done in that one. After he'd played the semi-final on the same
morning,
day.
Yeah, morning of. Yeah.
So that's in tough condition. So well done to
now he's Australia's
de Minaur.
Only seeded person in the men's draw. He's a 27th seed, Alex de Minaur. Number one seed, of course, there, Novak Djokovic. Rafa's two, Roger is three. In the women's, Ash Barty, who was terrific again in the Sydney International, looked like she was going to steamroll Petra Kvitova yesterday. Won the first set 6-1, ended up losing 7-6 in the third. She's Australia's only seed in the women's draw as the 15th seed. She's had a terrific start to 2019, Ash Barty, coming off a great 2018, and I think they're both chances to go deep into the Australian Open, de Minaur and Barty.
You can see the change in Ash Barty physically, can't you? You can see the maturity, the work that's gone in. You know, that's the type of thing that you can't hide from that.
Yeah.
You know, you can literally see it on the telly. I was talking to Tracy about it last night. And you go, wow, she's changed
movement.
Body shape.
Yep. And her movement, she's quick around the court.
It's all related.
Mm.
It's all related to that. And that's the other thing, I was saying it during the week. He was 245 in the world, Bernard Tomic.
Mm.
He's now 83 in the world.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work. Now, I'm not saying he's going to come out and he's going to win the tournament and Australian fans are going to fall in love with him. All you have to do is acknowledge that you've had to do a lot of winning to get your ranking from 245 to 83.
What do we expect of Tomic and Kyrgios, who both potentially have so much talent and could do great things in an Australian Open? Both unseeded, both have tough draws.
box of chocolates, Ray. You never know what you're going to get. Racing yesterday was at Royal Randwick, where you were in action, also up on the Gold Coast. Now, we've been up there for a few days.
How'd you enjoy that?
It was great. Mm? Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. It was fantastic.
Listened and watched a bit. Yeah. It sounded like you're having a great time.
Underbidder on a couple of lots.
Oh, really?
No.
I bet to say, how much are we paying you? Of course, the sales were huge in terms of the buying bench was extraordinary from around the world. We're on the Gold Coast. Very, you're talking to a lot of trainers. Very difficult to buy a horse because there was so much interest in so many of those yearlings. So that will set the tone now for the rest of the yearling sales circuit through to Easter sales in Sydney.
And the one thing they were all saying, whether it's be the syndicators or the trainers or the buyers or the sellers, the one thing they were saying, prize money.
Australian racing's in a pretty good place.
That's right.
You mentioned Magic Mean, saw a couple of exceptional performances yesterday, but Exhilarates.
Whoa.
Lived up to her name,
doesn't
so to speak.
Yeah.
Were you watching her? Did you give her a chance in the turn? I thought she's too far
back. I didn't know whether she could make up that distance.
Yeah.
But
she got a bit of a check soon after the start. And I thought she'd be midfield at worst. She's back about third last. And I thought, oh, dear. In an awful spot. But Kerry McAvoy's just skillfully just cut that corner, got her out wide into the clear, and then she's just powered home to win the Magic Millions.
Especially when it was the second favourite Dubious, it was back on the inside. And
run of the race stuff, burst through, looked home. She was fantastic, and she can certainly go now towards the Golden Slipper. Is at one of the best chances in the race. Godolphin have a fantastic two-year-old team this season, and she's right up there with Tassort, who's still the Golden Slipper favourite ahead of her.
And P&P Snowden, no doubt about them with Hightail. They said, oh, look, progressive two-year-old, not the best horse in the world, but still they get up there.
Trained to the minute.
Trained to the minute.
I was on Bondi for P&P Snowden in the Guineas and beaten narrowly in that photo finish. But Boomsar, great to see it for Chris Munts, because Chris had one of the world's nicest blokes, and fantastic to see his training career really taking off. And of course, he won three Magic Millions in the saddle. James, a two-year-old race, never won the Guineas. But
and did he win for his father-in-law? Didn't win for his father-in-law?
Need to think about that.
Was that the issue? Yeah. Anyway, 1353 53 is the open line number. Now, just before we go to our first ad break, Raymond, we've got to release our talk topic for today, and it was inspired by what I was doing yesterday at the SCG. I have a cousin that works for Cricket Australia. He's down in Melbourne. He rang me up and said, look, would the boys like the opportunity to go and stand on the field and sing the national anthem with the Australian side? And I said, oh, hang on a minute. I'll get back to you.
I bet to say, well, you want to go too, did you?
I'm telling you, I think I know the answer. And they said, look, if you've got a couple of mates who want to come as well,
you tag along, did you?
No, we had to... The Guardian. But
I would have. It would have been great honour.
So anyway, it was the next door neighbour who comes over and plays cricket all the time, Bryson.
Yeah.
And my mate Shane, whose daughter Hope loves her cricket, and we go to Sixers games. So we all went along, and there they all were. And unfortunately, they were lined up in front of the Indian team as opposed to the Australian team. So they all got a bit excited about the Australian team. Anyway, I've got to say, they're out on the ground, they got a little medal, they got a shirt, they got a cap, and they sang, well, they didn't sing the Indian National Anthem, because I was saying to River, do you know the Indian National Anthem? He said, no. I said, well, what are you going to sing?
Porky
and
panic.
You know what he said? up Cronulla. I said, right, that'll do. That'll do.
Oh, that's memories they'll take with them forever. Imagine they can't wait to get back to school and tell the boy what they did on...
You know what the worst thing was? There we were watching on the big screen. So they take them away from you. You've got to sit. Yeah, watching them on the big screen. Clearly, the cameraman was not a father.
Didn't go to the kids.
He cut the heads off all of them. You could just see the cap in front of the... I'm thinking... If you're a father, pull back. Mm. Just show the kid's face. Anyway, we got none of that.
We got some pictures.
Well done. It was a great day. So our talk topic for today is when you've had a special moment, an interaction with a sporting person, whether it be as an adult or as a youngster.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. Sort it out.
You go first. I'm thinking.
When I was 7 years of age, we had Tony Gregg come and stay with us at our farm at Wallenbean. He was on a tour with the Waverley District Cricket Club. Waverley District Cricket Club. He was out playing for Waverley in the Sydney grade competition. They won the competition that year.
So they built it out to local.
And they came and played a game against the local 11. And Phil O'Sullivan was the president, who I know to this day, for Phil O'Sullivan, a well-known name in eastern suburbs. He was there as the president, and he brought Tony Gregg along, and they stayed with us. They billeted with us. So I got to meet Tony Gregg at that time.
How old were you?
I was 7.
And can you remember that very much? What was Tony Gregg like?
We've got photos and everything. Mum bought Nutrigrain. Never bought it in her life.
Tony Gregg consumed said box?
Nah, wouldn't eat it. Didn't eat it. He didn't want it. She went out of her way to buy this Nutrigrain because he was on all the ads.
Oh, dear. I love Nutrigrain.
Didn't eat it. Well, I'm glad you like it. Tony Gregg didn't.
That's very funny.
What about you, Roman? You got a...
I do. Now, I had to think about it.
Yeah.
Australian Open, when it's played in Sydney, right? What's a golf course? Just near the airport. I can't think of it.
The Lakes? No. Royal Sydney?
I think it is. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The Australian.
The Australian. That's
the
it. Australian. Yeah. Anyway, 10th hole. Go down the hill.
Yes.
From the clubhouse.
Yes.
10th hole.
Yes, yes.
Jack Nicklaus is teeing off. A mate of mine, and well, I took a day off school, went to the Australian
Open. How old
were you? 12.
Yeah.
Got the old Red Rattler in.
Yeah.
From Penn. Anyway, so I just wanted to follow Jack. And he's gone through nine. He hit his tee shot down the left fairway into the rough on the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So my mate and I sprinted down. We were the first ones there next to the ball, literally. And his ball's behind a little small sort of shrub or something.
Did you get out for him? Or?
No. He walks up and he goes, "Tough shot here, boys." We just froze. We looked them all this far away from where you and I,
yeah,
a metre away from Jack Nicklaus, and he goes, "Tough shot here, boys." I couldn't say anything. That was a great moment for me, because Jack Nicklaus, what the golden bear, one of the all-time greats.
Absolutely. And apparently he remembers that to this day.
I doubt it. But I'll tell you what he did do.
What did he do?
I think he got out a 7-iron by memory,
yeah,
lobbed on the green.
Fair.
Unbelievable. So.
There you go. You brush with sporting fame, yep, as a youngster. We'll take your nominations on that. By the way, if you want to give us a contribution, you'll be in the chance to win a BSB cap, a BSB shirt, and a carton of Wingman beer. A carton of Wingman beer. All that.
We can endorse that product.
We can, fully. Fully. 1353 53, the Apple line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Sky Sports Radio has your perfect start to a winning day. Racing HQ is the complete package of all the day's vital racing information.
She'll get a lovely run just in behind the speed.
She's got to win in her very soon.
From 10, we'll preview the major New South Wales meet. And you'll hear from all the newsmakers, trainers, jockeys and owners. Racing HQ is required listening every morning on Sky Sports Radio.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life? If this sounds like you, then you should give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about combining your unsecured debts into just one weekly repayment tailored to your budget. That's a solution working for you. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Punters, we bet you, you can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show, 7:28 on your Sunday morning. James, this is from Danny. Good morning, Jimmy and Ray. Well done to the Aussies for having a win in the ODI, but who got to see it?
Mm.
What is Channel 7 doing? We read about the game in the paper and we're furious to find out it wasn't on free-to-air. Bring back Channel 9. That's from Danny. It's been a common lament this summer, hasn't it?
It has, especially around those games. Look, Fox Cricket's got all of them.
Mm.
Channel 7's got most of them. But when you get that situation where you're not getting the BBL game or you're not getting the ODI or whatever it happens to be, there's a sense of outrage.
Upsets the fans.
It does.
Our national
fans.
Game.
But it all comes down to dollars, Roman.
I understand. That's what drives everything.
Yep.
However, what doesn't drive this little thing is a mayor called Winks, who's just an absolute phenomenon. We mentioned earlier we're hoping to cross live to Santa Anita Racetrack, and we are about to do so now to talk to Peter Tai, one of the part owners of Winks. She's just been awarded James, the Secretariat Vox Populi Award, which is a global online poll for the world's most popular racehorse in 2018. The first time an Australian horse has won it, because it's very Northern Hemisphere.
Sure.
Swayed towards Northern Hemisphere horses. So a fantastic achievement. Peter is on the line now. Peter, hello over there in Santa Anita. I think it's the afternoon now. And well, firstly, congratulations for winning this award. I know it was announced late last year, but it must have been a surprise to you and all Team Winks that an Australian horse won an award of this type.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. It's a great day here. It's a great day, except it's raining and freezing cold at Santa Anita Park. We are very honoured to accept the award on behalf of Winks, obviously. But we've just been sitting downstairs signing posters for the last hour of all the club does up, and they do posters of Winks, and they give them away to all of the patrons, and we sit there and sign them. Everybody, myself, my wife Patty, and Debbie Capitis is here, and we've been signing posters and meeting all of the locals. It's fantastic.
Wow. I thought it never rained in California. What's going on, Pete? Anyway, we've been lied to.
We keep telling them that too, mate. It's a little boring at the moment. We're just before the start of the first race, and it's on the dirt, and it's just like a big mud patch.
Mm. Now, I can imagine...
It's a great day.
Yeah.
Peter, I can imagine that since that day many years ago when you bought Winks on the Magic Million sale, and there are days that just confound you and amaze you, but something like this must bring into sharp focus the impact that this mare has had around the globe, and does it continue to shock you? Do you still get amazed at the impact that she has on people all around the world?
Oh, exactly. We're here. There were hundreds of people lined up in a line for us to arrive to sign these posters this morning, and everybody has come and thanked us for coming and thanked us for Winks and thanked us for, you know, what she's brought for racing. And it is just an amazing thing to be here. And the people are so appreciative. All the Americans, everybody's turned up. And a lot of them are wearing Winks caps. They've been to Australia and purchased them. They had sent out. They've got beanies and scarves, all with Winks all over them, posters. It's like being back in Australia. It's unbelievable.
It's amazing to think her fame has spread so wide, isn't it,
yeah,
Peter? And also to consider some of the horses that were nominated alongside Winks for this award, like Justify, who's the only US Triple Crown winner to retire unbeaten. The Great Enable has won two ARCs and a US Breeders' Cup. You're an absolute... the best of the best, and she was a clear winner of this poll, Pete.
Yeah, they were very surprised. The officials were quite surprised that Justify didn't poll better. She was so popular with the locals over here, and I think it's in 60 countries the voting goes. So she picked up the votes in every country bar one or two, I think, and it's really funny the way that it's worked. But it is just phenomenal. The amount of people that know her over here and know what she's done, and they sit up in the middle of the night to watch a race every time. They have parties. The stories are just flowing at the moment. It's truly humbling to be here and be able to accept the award.
Mm. Can you give us an update on how she's going with this preparation leading into what we think is going to be the farewell? And Pete, we had someone call us on the program during the course of the week, and they said, look, the biggest sporting event of the year quite possibly will be Winx's final run, Queen Elizabeth's Stakes Day, the second day of the championship, which is amazing.
Massive
to think about
event.
It. Yeah.
Well, we're trying not to dream that far ahead.
Right.
Get it back on the 13th, I think, or the 16th of February, back into the Apollo Stakes, and she can show us that she's full of the zest that she's had, and we don't have any reason to think that she won't. She's spelled beautifully. She's trialling in Sydney on Tuesday, that'll give us a bit more of a guide, but we expect her to come back and do what she does best and race up to the up to the grade that she does, and then if that's all going well, then we can hopefully take her through to the Queen Elizabeth, and that will more than likely be her swan song.
Terrific, Pete. Look, I really appreciate the fact you've made some time for us over there. I know it's a huge day for you and Debbie and really for Winks as well to be honoured like this. And enjoy the afternoon in Santa Anita, Pete, and thanks so much for joining us on Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Show.
Thanks a lot for having us on, fellas. Catch you later.
Thanks, Pete.
Peter Tyre there, part owner of Winx. Sold through the Magic Millions. They're very proud of that, as was Red Zill. And they're very proud of that. The two highest stakes earners. Yeah. And there we go. What is it? The Secretariat Box Populi Award.
Yeah. Introduced by Penny Chenery, who raced the Great Secretariat. And
right.
It was her vision to try and acknowledge the most popular racehorse, the horse that's done most to promote the sport and et cetera, and excel. And no more deserving winner, James, than Winx.
Certainly not from our point of view either. 13-53-53, the open line number. Jimmy and Ray, why is Peter Siddle in our current ODI team? He bats 11, he's poor in the field, and bowls medium pace. If he's in the squad to mentor the younger bowlers, then fair enough. But surely we have better young bowlers that should be in the team. Rooster Mick from Goulburn.
His
numbers were okay yesterday, but
it's a strange decision, isn't it, to bring him back?
It's baffling. Is a mild way to do it. Ridiculous is probably a more accurate way.
I'll tell you what, there's a really good column in today's Sunday Telegraph by Shane Warne. Have you had a chance to read it yet?
No.
Jim? And it's basically looking at what's wrong with Australian cricket. Mm. What's right and what's wrong with it.
But yes.
In terms of what's wrong with it, the selection process, which I know Shane Warne's been critical of all summer, he gives that a bit of a go. And also, I think what you and I have, and many other cricket fans, agree with, is the pathway for these young players into state cricket and potentially the national side. The pathways have been eroded, haven't they, over the years because of the scheduling situation.
Yes.
With the Big Bash, etc. As you mentioned earlier, everything's about money. I understand that, Jim, but it's just baffling as to what's happened, particularly in the Sheffield Shield, when Shield was a nursery for so many great players for so many years.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. 13-53-53, the Apple Line number. We'll go to a break, and after the break, we'll have the race replays and your calls.
60 months interest-free. No deposit, no interest with 60 equal monthly payments until January 2024. Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance. Furniture and bedding, home appliances, televisions and technology. Minimum financed amount $1,000. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. 60 months interest-free, store-wide. Big brands, big savings. No deposit, no interest with 60 equal monthly payments until January 2024. Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance on now.
It's a new millennium for racing at Warwick Farm on English Millennium Day, Saturday, February 9. Be trackside for Sydney's first million-dollar race day of 2019. Headlined by the $2 million English Millennium for two-year-olds, the $1 million English Sprint and Group 2 Breeders Classic. An exciting day of racing, hospitality and free children's entertainment. Advance tickets from $12. Book now at theraces.com.au.
Belsonor's in front of the 100, a point Percy, and Amalia, Cuba late, Belsonor in front, and Amalia nailed her right on the line.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Jimmy's favourite part of the show, race replay time, James.
Mm.
We'll get straight into it. I know you look forward to this all the time. We'll get to the Gold Coast and Magic Millions last, but it was a few races at Randwick yesterday I'd like to highlight, particularly the first. This is a nice colt. His name is Starfall.
Starfall with cover around the turn. Acquittal getting close to heels. Further back then to Highway 66. Riviera, Starboy to the outside. Exotic still last. Miss Invincible in front. The favourite Starfall goes to second. Happy Mo under pressure. Further back to Acquittal. Highway 66. 200 out and Starfall forges to the front. A half in front of Miss Invincible. Then came Happy Mo. Exotic of late headway, but Starfall, the first favourite home. And Linda Meach becomes the first dual licence holder to win here in Sydney. Starfall won at Exotic, got going for second. Acquittal.
Well, that's significant. Darren Flindell making mention of Linda Meach there. Starfall, why was Starfall not at the Magic Millions, Roman?
It was in the Guineas, but Kieran Maher, the trainer, felt 1,400 metres, particularly from that wide barrier,
right,
would test its stamina reserves. Hence, he chose to go from a $2 million race to a $125,000 race. But when you win, everyone's a winner. So
saw Kieran up there, had a chat to him, made mention of we've
his
had
move
him on the program a couple of times.
Talk about his move to Warwick Farm.
His
expansion. Satellite stable,
Mostly about his hair I talked, but anyway.
Nice bloke though, isn't he?
He's a good fella.
And terrific trainer too. Trained with David Eustace and they're setting up 30 boxes at Warwick Farm to go with their Caulfield stable. On to race five, the summer sprint. Just the five horses. Robbie Dolan, he can ride lighter than 49, James.
Ooh.
Here he is again at 49 kgs on single bullet.
Jungleed swings the corner in front, 61 and a half at his back. He's really being tested here by Batterhoff as they come up the rise. Three further back to single bullet. Dolan's been keeping his powder dry, and now single bullet's got the last shot at them. Jungle Edge in front from Batterhoff. Single bullet moves up on the outside now. Jungle Edge, single bullet with a 12 kilo swing. The bullet moves up, went bang over the last 50, and single bullet draws away from Jungle Edge. Prolicut going at the end for third. Then came
so he would have plenty of weight in the pocket there, riding at 52. Robbie Dolan for single bullet.
Less three.
What's that?
Less three.
Less three. Oh, there's
yeah,
your 49.
So 49.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't have less three there. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Dolan.
There it is.
Yeah.
Gary Portelli, we had a good time with him up on the Magic Millions. He took us through his
I saw you
strategy,
with him, yeah.
His strategy around how he looks at every single horse physically. Looks at every single horse and then he narrows it down.
That's
and then
a lot
he narrows
of work,
it
isn't
down
it?
Again.
It's
and
a lot
then,
of work.
Yeah. And we were looking at him with lot 630, a Winjana Colt.
Yep. That was your interview you were doing with him, wasn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he bought it.
Did
well,
he buy it?
He didn't buy it, but the syndicator that was there with him and clients bought it, and he's going to train it.
There you go.
So, yeah, that's how the process
watch that interview,
out.
And I thought it was really it was good, James. Well done.
Thank me. Thank Gary.
Okay. On to race nine. Hey, our good friend John O'Shea. He's got this, Robbie Dolan again, by the way.
Yeah.
Live and free, back to his absolute best.
Going well, Trafalgar turning for home from Monsieur Sisu labouring, getting to the outside, Dalmatia, Prince Island Missile, then came into Wherry, and Live and Free's into the clear now, coming right down the outside, Trafalgar two lengths clear from Island Missile, but here comes the favourite, Live and Free, winding up wide out, and Live and Free stormed to the front inside the final 50 metres from Island Missile, and there's a riding treble for the apprentice Robbie Dolan, Live and Free by two lengths to Island Missile, Trafalgar third.
I don't even know why I'm asking this question, but I'll ask it anyway because I know the answer you'll give me.
Mm-hmm.
Where next for Live and Free? Well, we're speaking to John O'Shea a little bit later on in the program.
So why did you ask that question?
Well, because I just have you seen the owners?
High Power Group, James.
High Power Group. McLaughlin, Jill, and Gil, and Hamish are in there as
Simon
well.
Simon Perrin.
We've also got Julie Woodward and Gary Manning. Part owners in there as well, and
good
that's
Julian, Gary.
One of our favourites, isn't it? Live and Free.
Hope Gary's on the mend.
Absolutely.
So certainly a win like that will help him. Gold Coast, Magic Millions Day, fantastic day's racing, James. $10 million on offer. Bjorn Baker had a tremendous day with two $1 million winners. So did Chris Waller. Sydney Horses won six races on the program, James.
Yeah.
Dominated. Here's the first of one of Bjorn Baker's big wins. It's Egyptian Symbol.
Railing through as Usain Bolt, followed there by Kaepernick, and down the outside is Melbourne Escape at Fiery Heights. The leader got away from Hootson. Running home is Dothraki on the outside. Usain Bolt and Kaepernick. Fiery Heights still the leader. Dothraki on the outside. Fiery Heights, Dothraki. Late as Egyptian Symbol. Fiery Heights in front. Egyptian Symbol over the top beats them all, though. Egyptian Symbol's won from a photo between Fiery Heights, Dothraki.
That is as storming a finish as you would care to see.
Absolutely
flying Egyptian Symbol from the turn. That was a fantastic win for Bjorn Baker, who we will have on the program a little bit later.
And, of course, that was the Magic Mean Snippets, and he backed up to complete the day on the Magic Means Cup with Redouble. Two $1 million races on the same day. Fantastic achievement. Chris Waller won with Tumultuous and Invincibella. On to one of the two big ones, the Magic Means three-year-old guineas. This is a battle royale up the straight between Boom Zara, Bondi, and the favourite Outback Barbie.
Boom Zara led the way by length and a quarter from Bondi. Unconditional. Outback Barbie fourth the inside. Ziz Ziz Say I See You. Barefoot. Malahide followed by Persuader. On the inside, Boom Zara still just with the lead here. Bondi's on the outside. Outback Barbie's a length and a half away. Barefoot's making ground over on the inside. And the next one is Granny Red Shoes. Boom Zara, Bondi from Outback Barbie and Barefoot. Boom Zara, Bondi, Outback Barbie. Boom Zara, Bondi, Outback Barbie. They hit the line. Maybe Boom Zara. Maybe Boom Zara knows in a photo. But Outback Barbie and Bondi are right there.
Spirit of Boom is the sire. And Boom Zara was the winner. And this comes in, having been on the Gold Coast with Dave Stanley for 3 days. Dave from Wattlegrove says, boys, good to see Dave Stanley manage to stop another unbeatable favourite. He was all over Outback Barbie.
A lot of people were, weren't they?
Yeah.
I was on Bondi.
On Bondi. Oh.
Anyway, on to the Magic Means 2-year-old classic. Wasn't this a win? Her name exhilarates.
Unite and Conquer, followed there by Better Reflection, Hightail, and Tsar Sun down the outside, and Exhilarates down the outside as well. GBS the leader, Hightail Exhilarates, GBS Hightail Exhilarates, GBS Exhilarates out wide, Exhilarates has won the millions, and Nectar GBS in third to Hightail, not sure fourth, up there Tsar Sun.
So got in a bit of trouble out of gate nine, and as you say a little bit earlier, shuffled back, and then another barnstorming finish from Exhilarate. So just incredible win.
Love that word.
Oh, I love it. What about the, say, 2 years that Kieran McAvoy's had and the 12 months that James Cummins and Godolphin has had?
Phenomenal. We'll just look at Kieran. Last two Everests, the Melbourne Cup, also Melbourne Cup in 2016 as well.
That's right.
Cross-counter last year. And now wins a Magic Millions. He's just on fire. Fantastic big race jockey. He did get in an awkward spot, didn't he, James? But he sort of cut that corner.
Yes.
Got it out wide, found clear air for Exhilarates. And it's been a remarkable training feat because she's had five starts to the Magic Millions two-year-old classic.
Yes.
When she made her debut, she ran last of five at Rose Hill. It was very disappointing.
Right.
She was an odds-on favourite, but she choked down that day. And
right.
She's been a work in progress, but you could see the improvement each and every run. So a fantastic achievement by James Cummins, the Godolphin team, to win. And now she is very much on the Golden Slipper Road.
Second favourite at $8, to Sort at $5, and then a number of horses at $15. Anaheed, Catch Me, Dubious, and Time to Rain for Gary Fortell.
The two Godolphin two-year-olds at the top of betting, James.
One and two. 1353 53, the open line number. A lot of people wanting to have their say on our talk topic today, and actually we get this in from Michelle from Stinking Hot Dubbo. apparently, what a thrill for a Sheila from the bush, meeting Tommy Berry after a thrilling win on Karakuchi in Scone, May 2015, and saying g'day to Ray Thomas on the way to the winner's celebration room. Then meeting Gary Harley. What a day. What memories. There you go.
That's from Michelle. Lovely Michelle. Good Michelle. And this one from Paramat. My brush with sporting celebrity just before the 2016 Big Sports Breakfast Lunch. Jimmy Smith, as he calls you.
Smith.
Was chatting with me and he handed me a sports year diary. Made my day. Love your work, Jimmy. Paramat.
Good on you, Paramat. Let's go to the open line. Bob's on the line. G'day, Bob.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning, Bob.
I've been fortunate enough to meet lots of sports people, but one stands out. Back in 2003, my little fellow was at Sydney Children's Hospital having a cord blood transplant, and he was critically ill, and we were in a sealed room, and Darren Biedman arrived.
Came
up to the window, because he couldn't come in, of course. It wrote a beautiful little note on a poster, said a prayer, and my little boy, who was stage four and really should not have survived, did survive.
Wow.
And I was forever grateful for that. When Darren had his fall in Hong Kong, I can tell you the prayers were reciprocated.
Yeah. Well, he's one of the great men, Darren Biedman, so it doesn't surprise me to do something like that, Bob. So that's great news. And how's your son these days, Bob?
He's a little shit now.
Well, isn't that great? That's a great story. Good on you, Bob.
Good one, Bob.
Thanks so much. Great call.
The call.
Put that one down.
Double asterisks on Bob's call there. 1353 53, open line number. Let's go to Doug on the line. G'day, Doug.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Yeah, good morning,
really,
Doug.
Well, buddy.
I just want to talk about Joe Richardson. He had a good game too, didn't he?
Jai Richardson?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was good.
Yeah. He played man of the match, 4 for 26.
He should be in the Australian Test side, mate.
I just wonder where you fit him in.
Yeah, he's got to back it up, Doug, and do it consistently now. He's done it once. He's shown he can bowl well at the international level against a really good batting side like India. So let's hope he can do it in game two.
Yes, I hope he can too.
It's good to see us have a win at last, Doug.
And I run into Sam Burgess on the way down to Broadway yesterday.
Big Sammy Burgess?
Yes. He was having a cup of coffee and all that.
There you go. He's been in years a bit, Sammy, but I tell you what, we're looking forward to him playing some footy in season 2019. Good on you, Dougie. I do appreciate that. Now, just before we go to the ad break, Raymond, you wanted to make mention of...
I do. The NRL gets a lot of bad press. A lot of it deservedly so, unfortunately,
correct,
over the summer. But
correct,
a lot of the good things that happen in the NRL don't often get publicised. And if I can mention just a couple of things, James, my daughter is a primary school teacher, and out in the western suburbs, the Penrith Panthers visit her primary school regularly during the course of the year.
Yep.
And she's extraordinarily, in terms of their how obliging they are, courteous, polite, and engaging with the kids. She thinks they're fantastic. And my sister, her son, my little nephew's got a great little mate. They've been mates since preschool. He's now 11 years old. He's very, very ill at the moment. And I must thank you too, James, because I did ask you for your help. And through my little nephew's mate, he's a great supporter of St George. And through your help, and particularly Brian Johnson, the CEO of St George, they sent our little friend, a St George supporters pack. And I can tell you, James, that absolutely made his day and made his parents' day. So thank you. And in particular, thank you, Brian Johnson, the St George Football Club, for doing a really, really decent gesture, which made a young man's day. And let's hope he can continue to recover.
Fertile grass, rich soils and expert horse people give New Zealand thoroughbreds a winning edge. Graduates of New Zealand Bloodstock's yearling sales scored 120 stakes wins and 18 Group 1 wins last season alone. They've laid claim to the last 5 consecutive Australian Oaks and 5 out of the 7 Australasian Group 1 guineas last season. Destined for racetrack stardom, over 1,200 yearlings are on offer at Karaka this summer. New Zealand Bloodstock, where winning begins.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Sorry about Jim, I got a bit emotional before, but that little boy, as I said, thanks for your help there. And he's hopefully things will improve for him. Certainly that picked up his day, and his family were very appreciative.
No thanks to me. Many thanks to Brian Johnson and the St George Illawarra Dragons. This would happen all the time, but he was away at Dunedoo. He said, as soon as I get back, I'll contact you. Yep. Day he got back, sent an SMS. The next day, the package arrived.
Exactly, and I sent you a little picture of the little boy in his hospital bed. Yep. So thanks very much. Hey, look, this man had a terrific day yesterday. Could have been even better if Kaepernick had a bit of luck, but look, Live and Free was fantastic at Randwick. John O'Shea's on the line to join us this morning. John, good morning, and he's really struck a rich vein of form now, Live and Free. What's been the secret?
Oh, mate, just likes dry tracks, right?
Yeah.
And, so once he gets a little bit of firm ground, he's a really different horse because he's got a great turn of foot. Mm. And when the ground's a little bit wet, just dulls that acceleration.
Mm. And we saw that in full force, didn't we, yesterday, the acceleration. How confident were you leading into it, John?
Well, we're very happy with him, Jimmy, and I think it was just a matter of getting the right run in the race. So it was virtually the same field he met previously, and he'd sort of overcome adversity to win that day. So we got a clear run this week. It was always going to be hard to beat.
Summer form, you mentioned the dry tracks, and that's important as well. What and now that he has shown some ability, what's the plan, John? How do you maintain this run?
I mean, we're just going to keep going through our grades. Mm. Another race in a couple of weeks, giving an opportunity to win again with not too much weight. And, once he's done that, well, we'll sit down with Scotty Perrin and his illustrious group of owners and try and work out, where they'd like to see him run the next time.
It's a high-powered group, John, the ownership group.
Let me tell you, Ray, there's plenty of pressure coming from that.
I can imagine. Hey, John, can I just ask about the two jockeys that have won on Live and Free in his last two starts? Tommy Mark won a fantastic ride at Randwick a couple of weeks ago. And Robbie Dolan, this three-kilo kid taking all before him at the moment, two really talented young riders from the UK.
Yeah, well, Tommy come down to me through Tommy Ward, who used to be my racing manager. He's now at Richard Hammond. He wanted to spend a bit of time in Australia and just fine-tune his skills. And I think, what he's displayed being in Australia has been exceptional. And for a young man of only 20, he's a real talent, and he's been a welcome addition to the riding ranks. Young Robbie Dolan, obviously he's apprenticed to Mark, but he's just a young boy that we've had a good opinion of for some time. Been watching him ride in the country and ride worth of a morning at Randwick, and technically he's very sound. Mm. He's got a great work ethic, and you know, he's got the world at his feet because he can ride so very light, you know. So I think they're two wonderful young riders and should be followed in the years to come.
Yeah, Robbie Dolan in particular can ride, as you said, John, so light. He was telling me yesterday he can get out of the shower wringing wet at 47. That's after breakfast. He had an egg and toast yesterday morning, still rode at 47, could claim his full three, obviously, on Live and Free. It's rare these days, isn't it, John?
Well, it is, but let me tell you, Ray, when he's riding one at about 58, the saddle's like lumping a bunch of lead down to the saddle enclosure. Mate, it's good. We tried a little trick there last week. We had a thing of 3.5 and came down to 50.5, and, the horse could beat a nose. So, there's a few things you could do with Robbie because he can ride so very light.
Exactly. Mm.
Big sales, obviously, over the last few days or 4 days. How active were you in that market? What were your thoughts on it as well, John?
Well, I thought the market would hold up, Jimmy. No way did I think that it would increase like it has. Mm. So it was an extremely buoyant market. We were very lucky to secure sort of 8 yearlings, and so with our ownership group, and which has been fantastic. It's a lovely group of young horses, but it was a very hard, hard week to get through because there's so much work to get done, so many horses to get done, and. But it's all done now, and I look forward to the next group of sales series.
The buoyancy of the yearling sale market, John, is that indicative of the strength of Australian racing?
Well, I think the breeders as a group should get down and give thanks to Peter Volandis and John Massaro previously, who sort of put a funding model into New South Wales racing, which has allowed a great return to the owners. And, it just adds so much strength to the market. And now the internationals are... woken up as to how strong it is and the returns you can get. And so there's some massive international players come into our market now. And this has made it a little bit difficult for the Barry Butlers like myself to buy a yearling, but I will still work to do our best.
Wish I was battling as tough as you, John.
Oh, gee, Jimmy, I saw your imposing figure strutting around those sales teams, mate. You've been working out this. Oh, you could nearly run on. You look that well.
Only if I was playing against a team of yous, John.
You don't want to inflate the ego too much, John. I tell you, it's hard enough to sit in the room with him sometimes.
Oh, hang on a minute. Gee, I thought we were a team, Ray.
Are you in a good mood now?
Gee, it doesn't take much to the cracks to appear, does it, John? Yeah, you can. A little bit of stress testing.
Wales culture coming out, Jimmy. Oh. Hey. You blokes just cracked, mate.
Hang on a minute, mate. Hang on a minute. We're the reigning champs.
1 out of 12 is not bad.
Hashtag one in a row. Hashtag one in a row. Hey, mate, congratulations on yesterday. Really exciting for you and for the ownership group as well, and for anyone that might have backed Live and Free. So well done on that, and great to have a chat early in 2019, mate.
Cheers, boys.
Thanks, John.
There he is, John O'Shea, trainer of Live and Free, a good winner there. In the last at Randwick. As you say, with Robbie Dolan on board. 1353 53, the open line number. For the first time, we say good morning to Tam with the scratchings around New South Wales. Morning, Tam.
Morning, all. Racing in New South Wales today is at Coffs Harbour and Wellington. Let's start with Coffs Harbour. The weather is fine. The track a good 3, the rail true, and there are 24 scratchings. Race 1, take out 13, Femme Puissante, number 13. Race 2, number 4, Plonka, 7, Heart of Fife. 10, Black Vixen, 11, Dahlia in Spring, and 17, Love You Long Time, 4, 7, 10, 11, and 17. Race 3, take out 9, Queen of Manhattan, 10, Anacreon, 12, Gold Digger, 17, Osbred Trump, and 18, Secret Largo, 9, 10, 12, 17, and 18. Race 4, number 1, Giddy Up, 5, Lightning Pageant, 17, Tudor Sunrise, and 18, Sister Batrill, 1, 5, 17, and 18. Race 5, number 4, Extreme, 5, Hildalgo, 17, Mount Dara, and 18, Wahiki Island, 4, 5, 17, and 18. Race 6, take out 2, Hydrazine, number 2. And race 7, number 2, Prince of Arran, 4, La Puga, 17, Splash of Lime, and 17, Keeping Watch. 2, 4, 13 and 17 from race 7 at Coffs Harbour. To Wellington, the weather is fine. The track a good 3, the rail true and 25 scratchings. Race 1, take out 1, Banjin Rain, 2, Christo, 15, Lingenic and 16, Alpine Royal, 1, 2, 15 and 16. Race 2, number 4, Magic Ticket, 7 Lucy's Legacy, 15 Ridgy Ridge, and 16 Stately Boy. 4, 7, 15, and 16. Race 3, number 3, Kenneth, 7 Empathy, 12 A Ginger Tale, and 15 Flirt De. 3, 7, 12, and 15. Out of race 4, number 2, Polyxena, 7 Infinite Advantage, 17 Iandra, and 18 Midnight Serenade. 2, 7, 17, and 18. Race 5, number 1, George 2, and 3, The Warlord, 1 and 3. Race 6, number 5, Barefoot Babe, 7, French Giggle, 11, Purist, and 12, Midnight Serenade, 5, 7, 11, and 12. And out of race 7, number 2, Regal Cannon, 4, Zephod, and 15, Bon Honour. 2, 4, and 15, out of race 7, at Wellington.
Thanks, Tan. Tips today. Coffs Harbour is a nice horse in the first. Unfortunately, very short, Jim. That's race 1, number 12, Sylvia's Memory. But you want to do an all-up. Into race 2, number 3, Palo. And race 3, number 7, Materiality. Just the first three races there. Palo and Materiality, certainly backable odds. Over to Wellington, race 3, number 9, Tulloon Brook. First starter, want to trial like Farlap. Into race 6, number 4, Paris in May.
How many horses have won trials like Farlap?
There's been a few over here. Just sort of rolls off the tongue.
No, it does, it does, not too bad.
30, did win a trial order.
53 is the open line number. We'll put those tips out on social media. We will come back with more of your calls on the talk topic today. And, of course, to kick things off next hour, we'll have Zorba with all his thoughts on the great game of rugby league.
I'm Sarah Womby. A 19-year-old woman has died in hospital after attending the FOMO Music Festival in Western Sydney. Police say the Central Coast teenager was taken from the Parramatta Park event to Westmead Hospital about 6 last night and died later in the evening. The circumstances of her death are being investigated and police are appealing for anyone with information to come forward. Police say around 11,000 attended FOMO, with officers searching 146 people and finding 54 of them with drugs. An 18-year-old Saudi woman who fled alleged abuse by her family has arrived in Canada after she was granted asylum there. Rahaf Mohammed Al-Kanoun garnered worldwide attention after she barricaded herself in an airport hotel room in Bangkok and began tweeting that her life was in danger if she was forced to return to Saudi Arabia. Ms. Al-Kanoun was welcomed by Canadian Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland at Toronto's airport. Ms. Freeland says that Canada will always stand up for the rights of women.
It's also obvious that the oppression of women is not a problem that can be resolved in a day. But rather than cursing the darkness, we really believe in lighting a single candle.
More than 500 litres of alcohol has been destroyed by Northern Territory Police after a three-day operation uncovered the booze destined for remote communities. 5 vehicles travelling from South Australia were stopped south of Alice Springs, and a search uncovered 89 5-litre wine bladders, 14 4-litre wine bladders, and a 1-litre bottle of spirits. 7 people were issued with drug infringement notices, 2 people were issued with traffic infringement notices, and a man has been ordered to face court at a later date after he was found in possession of a trafficable amount of cannabis. Up to 1 million rotting fish need to be urgently removed from the New South Wales Darling River, as the carcasses could trigger another wave of deaths. According to environmental scientist Stuart Kahn, the dead fish need to be collected within a matter of days before they sink to the bottom of the river and become almost impossible to retrieve. Also in news, Victorian Emergency Services are continuing to control an ongoing fire near Rosedale and Gippsland. And specialist fire crews from New South Wales have been flown in to help with Tasmania's Gell River blaze. 2 French firefighters and a Spanish woman have died, and nearly 50 people have been injured in a gas explosion at a bakery that gutted the ground floor of a building in central Paris. The BBC's Rebecca Drunch reports.
The explosion was so powerful it destroyed the entire ground floor of the building housing the bakery. It shattered nearby shop fronts, damaged cars, and left debris strewn across the road. Witnesses said the force of the blast rocked buildings hundreds of metres away. It's believed the bakery, which is in a tourist district near the Paris Opera, was not due to be open at the time of the blast this morning. Emergency services had been called to investigate a reported gas leak when the explosion happened. The French Interior Minister, Christophe Castaner, praised the courage of rescuers who pulled people from the rubble.
And in the US, the grandfather of a 13-year-old Northwest girl held captive for months says the family has no connection to the man suspected of kidnapping her and killing her parents. This is Air News. Saudi Arabia was another team to qualify for the knockout stages with a group game in hand, as their sports Graham Davis reports.
A goal in each half gave Saudi Arabia a 2-0 win over Lebanon to ensure it a place in the knockout stages. Fahad Al-Mawallad smashed a volley into the roof of the goal in the 12th minute, and with Lebanon rarely threatening, a second always looked as though it would seal the result. It came in the 67th minute when Al-Makawi slotted home a delightful cross from Hatem Behebri. Saudi Arabia will have tougher tasks ahead, but coach Pizzi has put together a hard-working, well-organised side. Graham Davis in Dubai, Fair Sports.
Australia teen sensation Alex de Minaur has emerged from a gruelling day on court to win his first ATP title, beating Andrea Seppi 7-5, 7-6 in the Sydney International Final. Forced to win through his semi-final yesterday afternoon against Gilles Simon after rain washed out play on Friday night, de Minaur returned to the court 6 hours later for a gutsy straight sets win over the Italian veteran. Meantime, Ash Barty has suffered defeat in the final of her Sydney International Final, losing to Petra Kvitova 1-6. 6-7-5-7-6. And Queensland teenagers Lani Pallister and Hayden Cotter have claimed back-to-back titles in the Lawn Pier to Pub swimming event in Victoria. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Cabernet Merlot by De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
They're not going your way and need a win? Red Rooster's two chicken sliders, winner for just $5. Now that's winner, winner. Available until 4 p.m. T's and C's apply. In Ingleburn, look out for a boat canopy that's fallen onto the Hume approaching Brooks Road. Southbound traffic affected. And in French's Forest, major traffic changes started this weekend on Warringah Road at Forest Way, including a new red light citybound on Warringah Road approaching the intersection. Water is a precious resource, so we shouldn't waste it. Taking shorter showers and fully loading your dishwasher are just some ways to save it. Get more tips at sydneywater.com.au. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio has your perfect start to a winning day. Racing HQ is the complete package of all the day's vital racing information.
She'll get a lovely run just in behind the speed.
She's got a win in her very soon.
From 10, we'll preview the major New South Wales meet. And you'll hear from all the newsmakers, trainers, jockeys and owners. Racing HQ is required listening every morning on Sky Sports Radio. Stay right where you are and enjoy your favourite reality viewing this summer staycation. The one you watch from the windows of your own home. Wideline windows and doors can create the perfect frame for your view. Whether it's bifolds at Bankstown, casements at Coffs, or awnings at Abermain. All backed by a 7-year guarantee. Take a closer look at the stylish range of Wideline windows and doors. Get started today by visiting wideline.com.au. It's a new millennium for racing at Warwick Farm on Inglis Millennium Day, Saturday, February 9. Be trackside for Sydney's first million-dollar race day of 2019. Headlined by the $2 million Inglis Millennium for two-year-olds, the $1 million Inglis Sprint and Group 2 Breeders Classic. An exciting day of racing, hospitality and free children's entertainment. Advance tickets from $12. Book now at theraces.com.au. Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Mostly cloudy today. Winds southerly 15 to 25 k's, tending southeasterly in the middle of the day, then becoming light in the evening. There's a 5% chance of a shower or two. Heading for a top temperature in Sydney today of 27 degrees. Hot week coming up though, James. But
yes.
Hey,
yes.
James, what's the current temperature in Caringbah and the forecast for Coffs Harbour today?
I thought I can give you the weather report at Caringbah
South.
22 degrees, Caringbah South today, a maximum of 26 degrees. Coffs Harbour, maximum temperature of 28 degrees and a sunny day today.
Sarah Gigante at 18 years of age, one of the youngest in the race, is now the elite women's Australian road champion.
Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Welcome back to the program. 9 minutes past eight here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Edition. We're taking your calls this morning on 1353 53. We want to know your brush with sporting fame as a youngster, or it might have been an unusual situation. That was on the back of Austin and River Smith being there for the national
moment.
Anthems, for
That's
the Indian fantastic. National Anthem. Mm. Yeah, they didn't know the words, decided to sing up
on the SCG.
On the SCG,
wow.
Yeah. Just incredible. This is the problem. Here's the problem that I now have.
How are you going to top that?
Exactly. Can we go to the ground again and we'll meet all the Indian players, Dad, and we'll get out on the ground? No.
Why can't we go to the ground today, Dad?
Yeah. that's the problem. Get us on the SMS as well, 0419 767 272. We've got Zorba coming up very shortly. We're going to have a chat with Bjorn Baker as well. A couple of winners for Bjorn yesterday. We'll have the double book quiz. Now, the double book quiz consists of, this is the prize, the Winx book as written by you, and the Sports Year Diary, courtesy of sportsyear.com.au. Now, correct. Did I hear that these were into a second print?
About to go into
a second. They're selling like the proverbial hotcakes, I believe.
Actually, I don't know how much the first print run was, actually. Still no money coming my way from that.
Hang on a minute. You haven't got any money coming in yet?
Got to engage you in negotiations here.
Who do you negotiate with? And the problem with this is... Mm. It's already out there. It's done.
No, it's gone.
You
did raise that point me during the week, which it's actually, if I was a bit, clean bowled, I'd be in all sorts of trouble. But
I don't like your negotiating position, to be honest. But anyway.
You're a lovely bloke, the publisher, too.
I'm sure he is. Well, if I was him, I'd be lovely to you as well.
Exactly.
Score update on that.
You're off to a good start.
Off to a start. 1-0. 1-0 in that one. And remember, it's four cartons of beer.
He consumed said... prize from last year.
Just
quick.
About through it, yes. Fantastic. If you have any beers, I'll get them. I'll bring them out. I've got, look. Have a look at this.
The fridge is still full. Tracy, don't worry about them. Any more beers.
By the way, best contribution for today gets the BSB cap, the BSB shirt, and a carton of Wingman beer. And we're getting word filtering back from the listeners. They are getting their Wingman beer, too.
Distributed accordingly?
Absolutely.
Is the system working, James?
There's no...
We're not sure.
We're not going to go that far, right?
It's sort of
but
working
somehow,
slowly.
And that's not a reflection on Windman, let me assure you. It's more of a reflection on us, 1353-53. Look, one of the things that's been in the news of late and a lot is the player behaviour in the National Rugby League. There's been Dylan Napa now, depending on which way you read it, has been the victim of someone releasing videos. The age of the videos is not yet determined.
What's the motive behind that, James? It's years ago.
Yeah, I know.
It said videos plural now. It's just... seriously.
Well, it makes you take stock, I guess, and think a little before you act. And always... It comes back to that thing you're going to be telling your kids at a time when whatever you post on social media is there forever.
Yep.
It's there. Now, he didn't post this on... willingly on social media, but it's there now because it's recorded. So those are the things that, as young sports people, whether you agree or not, whether it's an invasion of privacy or not, the legalities around it all, you must be aware of that you are vulnerable to that type of situation.
What about the poor young lady in the video?
I understand
she wasn't even aware that it's been shot. That's disgraceful.
And that's not disgraceful, that's illegal.
That too, yeah.
So there's a separate issue that comes into play as well. 1353-53, the open line number. Let's get to Zorba. He's got lots to say on the game itself. We always enjoy it. He's back for another year, and we'll be talking just after 8 o'clock every week. He's on now. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray. Yeah,
morning,
it's
Pete.
A problem, isn't it? It's not going to happen anytime soon, but I think it's time right now that rugby league clubs showed some pride and treated their organisations like the workplace they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they're employing upwards of 50 people in some places, and of course you've got your fans, you've got your sponsors, you've got your logo, you've got your history, and I just think the first step now, before any player is signed to a club, there should be some due diligence done on players signed, and a no dickhead policy should be introduced by all clubs who care. Now, I know as soon as a really talented player comes on the market, they really don't care if they've got a history of issues.
Mm-hmm.
Right across the clubs in the off-season, players have splashed their clubs' logos and reputations all over the media with poor decisions on behaviour. Some, like Dylan Napa, have yet to play for their club. Now, guilty or not guilty, he's brought an unwelcome spotlight on a club that's already reeling from Mad Monday 2018. Lynn Anderson and the board swept into power on the back of bringing the old Canterbury Bulldogs family values back to Belmore. Well, that simply hasn't happened in the opening 12 months, has it? Maybe boards should be better represented on the recruitment panels and the CEOs, the football managers, held a little bit more accountable. And I really don't like the veiled suggestions today that there's something sinister at play here in this Bulldogs issue, and the finger's being pointed at former board members. Mm. Hard to believe that they would dig up anything to the likes of what we've seen in the last week. I mean, I think that's far-fetched.
Let's hope so.
You couldn't think people would stoop that low. Yeah.
No,
surely.
You wouldn't think so. And I just hope that this whole issue, and, you know, I feel sorry for Dylan Napa, what goes on behind closed doors and should stay there. Mm. But as you mentioned at the head of this segment, life's not the same anymore.
No.
For young sports people, male or female, coming through.
Exactly. One thing it doesn't change is Cameron Smith. He just keeps on keeping on. So everyone thought he would, as expected, sign on again for a couple more years with the Melbourne Storm. Potentially, he'll go to 400 NRL games later this season. Mm. An extraordinary feat for a man who basically, Zorb, plays every minute of a football game. He's not the biggest bloke in the field. He's right in the middle of the ruck tack and the big forwards. It's been remarkable how his longevity.
I don't think we will, well, we certainly, I won't be around to see it eclipsed. Mm. It will be the benchmark for, I think, ever in the game whilst we retain the number of teams that we have now, if you look at it. Cameron Smith's new two-year deal with the Storm, with no rep football,
yeah,
is set to become the first player to play 400 first-grade games. Now, think about that for a moment. He turns 36 in June. He's about to start his 18th year in first grade. That means if you play for 20 years at 20 games a year, mm-hmm, and you have to be fairly robust to do that in this day and age.
Absolutely.
That'll give you 400 games. I can't see it being eclipsed by anybody in the future. He's a freak. He's a goat in terms of greatest of all time, I think, in terms of durability and just being able to keep playing at the level he's played. Now, it's an incredible feat, and I think we all should embrace it. He's a future immortal. He's the best in his position. He holds records galore in every section of the game. Interesting, while he continues his great career, we see his former great teammate start a new career.
Yeah.
And how sensible has Billy Slater been in planning his future? And other rugby league players in the game that have got the longevity of Billy Slater should be looking at going down a pathway which he will enjoy, which he will make good money out of. Sold his first bred horse on the Gold Coast this week. $180,000, Ray.
He's done it right, hasn't he?
He has. I mean, he's hopped straight out of rugby league, and within 6 months of retirement, he's showing that he's planned his future. I think it's sensational. And out of all of the sad stories coming out of the game, here is one that is just filled with pride. And congratulations to him and to his management, who have obviously helped. And while we're talking about clubs, I've had a bit of a go at Canterbury. I want to have a go at Newcastle now. It's another club which needs a good look at itself. For months now, we've heard how the big stick will be out for players who do the wrong thing. Yet almost weekly in Newcastle, there are reports of player misbehaviour, mainly stupid, arrogant actions like fighting outside pubs or allegedly slapping a Uber driver. It has to stop. And clubs have got to stop threatening players and show them the door. They've got to get serious before the players realise they are serious. And another club is the Cronulla Sharks. I mean, they were the pride of the Shire a few seasons back. with a tough, uncompromising style of play and the capacity to fill its ground with fans. They brought their club the first premiership, the glory of that, but it's been downhill ever since then. And they're now a club in crisis in every way, with management struggling to get things right. To have the club with a blanket ban from another local licensed club is the last straw. Mm. I mean, they're the pride of the Shire, but they're not, obviously, at the Cronulla Sailing Club. Changes have to be made to change the attitude of the players, and maybe some players need to be moved on. I reckon the first step should be to install a new leader to show the way for new standards, and my man to do that job, which would probably surprise a lot of people because he's quietly spoken, is the halfback or 5'8" and local junior Chad Townsend. He's a Sharky through and through. He had to leave the club after being an absolute star junior. He was virtually shown the door, had to go over to the Warriors to get his reputation that he was an NRL player. He's a family man. He's inspiring. As I said, he had to leave and come back to be appreciated. If I was Johnny Morris, I would make him captain and I would start to set some new standards because, geez, they need them there at the Sharks at the moment.
Just on that, Zorb, I totally agree with you. There needs to be, for want of a better term, a line in the sand where certain behaviours aren't accepted. But in saying that, the clubs need support from the NRL so that if they cut a player loose, that they're not just picked up by the opposition 3 weeks later.
That's all we've been talking about. I mean, at the moment, they will just pick players up. They don't seem to care about what their fans think.
Some do.
And those are the clubs that have got to be replicated by the others. You want to get up to the standard of the top clubs. And there are some clubs that are caring about that. And also, the clubs have got to start to show a little bit of love back. I mean, clubs fall in and out of love so quickly with players. I mean, if the reports are correct, and I'm sure they are, because I've looked into it, Parramatta are showing no love to their premiership centre, Michael Jennings. Now, they went after him hard from the Roosters. He's a Western Sydney boy. He was happy to go back to the West. He's been shopped around because the Eels want to free up $800,000 a year that he's on for the next 2 years. And there's been some suggestions that he'll go back to Wentworthville. The Eels went hard after Jennings to snare him, and now they want to shift him with suggestions that move is on. I hope Jennings digs his heels in, and at the money he's on, I think he will. I think he just goes to Wentworthville, and if they want to park him there, well, park him there. I think that this is going to blow up in a big way.
Well, he's taken the option, hasn't he?
Well, hang on. I'll put it to you this way. He took up the option. This is the final year of his contract. So this is the last time they had to pay eight. Mm. Would you pay $800,000 for Michael Jennings?
Well, clubs won't.
No. What would you pay for Michael Jennings?
Oh, I think he's just short of that, 700.
Oh.
Well, he's an international player.
Either way,
he's a premiership-winning player.
That was 5 years ago, six years ago.
Yeah, but he's still as good as what they've got at Parramatta. I reckon there's some other players there that should be moved on before he is.
They're
a real worry. I can see some problems there for them. I mean, they've got a great new ground to be opened in the coming months.
Yes.
They've got a great Leeds club support, but they seem to be in disarray. Their coach is walking the tightrope. They've got a massive junior area, which they've neglected in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Their buying has been poor.
Yes.
There's a lot of question marks on Parramatta at the moment.
Most definitely. New football manager in there, Mark O'Neill. So he's been charged with the job of, along with a lot of other people in bringing the club forward. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens. If Parramatta are 2-6 or 2-7, whether Brad Arthur retains his position.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough start to the year for them. I mean, they don't have a bad roster. They've got rid of Corey Norman, which I don't think will... I think that will be a struggle for St George to get him to play the football that they're paying him to play. I can see problems at both clubs next season.
Yeah.
They're not going to be in my top eight, either of those clubs.
The Dragons?
The Dragons, no way.
All right, okay. All right, we'll get that a little bit later on. Ray Thomas is just picking himself up off the floor here. You've upset him.
My top eight, and I'm not going to change. Yep. It's Roosters, Penrith, Broncos, Storm, Rabbitohs, Knights, Cowboys, and either Raiders or Sharks for eight. So I don't have them in there. And I don't have Parra anywhere near it.
Well, I'm just looking at Parra's. Panthers first up. Bulldogs second.
At Penrith.
Roosters third. Sharks, round four. Raiders, round five in Canberra. West Tigers, round six. That's the first game at Bankwest Stadium. Knights away. And then Dragons at home, round eight.
Tough draw.
That'd be interesting. Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak again next week.
Okay, boys.
See you, Pete.
There he is, Peter Peters. Always strong with his opinions. That's why he's on the program. 1353 53 is the open line number. We've got callers there wanting to have their say, so let's go to them. Raymond with their sporting brushes with fame.
Yep.
Brian's on the line. G'day, Brian.
Good morning, Ray and Jimmy. How are we?
Morning, Brian.
Good. Now, my brush with fame was in the 70s, as I was telling the lady on the switch. I actually had the privilege of meeting Betty Cuthbert.
Oh, what the great Betty Cuthbert. Yeah.
When she was a representative for Adidas Footwear.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Yeah,
back in the 70s. That's back in the very younger days when I used to work in a shoe store, made in Burwood. So,
that's it.
Yeah, that. And another one was, Ray'll appreciate this, as a racehorse owner, I was in that fantastic galloper called Sam Sung a Song, Ray.
There you go.
Remember Sam?
I do, yeah.
Right, and in the 2005 Villiers, we had the privilege of Sam racing in Burnbrook's colours, mate, for the day.
Oh, I didn't know that, gee.
On that race, and I thought that was an absolute privilege as an owner.
Oh, that would have been
he
60...
He won a Group 3 Liverpool City Cup.
That's it, yeah.
He went down to Melbourne to run in the Emirates, but that was a standout for me as an owner, mate.
The 60th anniversary of Burnbrook's Villiers win, 45. That would have been the reason.
And Sam was given the privilege of running in Burnbrook's colours.
Wow.
And Zach Purton murdered him, by the way, mate.
Look at Zach Purton. He's gone on to think of better things.
Brian. Speak through your kick there. There you go. Thank you for that. Great name.
Yeah,
Sam sung a song.
The story behind that one.
Great name.
Yeah.
G'day, Ron.
I don't like that bloke.
Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Yeah, your man, Zach Purton.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. That's like batting after Bradman. I'll kill him.
Settle down, Ronnie.
Yeah, I will. Actually, it was rather funny talking about the talk subject.
Mm-hmm.
It was back in about 1980, and I was working in Surrey Hills, and I got to work, went up to the car park, and I was running a little bit late, and there were people all lined up at the lift to go down to the ground floor. So I decided I'd take a shortcut and went flying down the fire escape. Full bore, got to the bottom, and I couldn't believe it. I ran fair into a bloke and ran clean over the top of him and flattened him. Oh, my God. I'm terribly sorry, sir. He had a three-piece suit on, and I looked at him, he's flat in his back, and it was bloody Rocky Gattilari.
Oh, there you go. You wouldn't want to take him on, Ron.
Be careful, Ron.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, geez, of all the people in Sydney, I could have flattened.
Not
I didn't know what he was doing, trying to get up a fire escape the wrong way anyway. But anyway.
You don't want to ask.
We won't go there. Thanks, Ron. Actually, we understand why you moved to Moree now, Ron.
Get away from
him. He is undercover. Stop calling radio stations. They'll find you. 1353 53. Wayne's on the line. G'day, Wayne.
G'day, boys.
Morning, Wayne. Terrific. What do you got for us, mate?
I rang you the other week about the mare's race up the backyard at home.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
It was an Auntie Mary that won.
Auntie Mary, but there's been a bit of a kerfuffle after the race. She's failed the drug test and can't race for 12 months.
Stewart's protest, is there, mate?
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to thank you for the prizes you sent me out, Matt, you know?
Oh, the system does work, Wayne. You did get the prizes.
Yeah, I had a big lick of that wingman, yes, it was all right.
It goes all right, doesn't it?
What did you make of it?
Oh, after about 14, I can't remember.
So it's obviously good.
What we will do with testimonials is make sure we get them within the first 10 wingmen,
exactly.
All right?
Yeah. Hey, the other thing is... I had a bit of I was having a beer with Lionel Rose one night. He was a friend of a mate of mine. And I had to go early because my mother-in-law is pretty sick with cancer, you know.
Yeah.
And we were having a family dinner, and Lionel said, I'll come down and say hello to everyone. So he got in the car and come down and come home and say hello to my mother-in-law and all the family that while we were having dinner.
A great Lionel Rose.
Yeah, what a great bloke, though.
Beat Fighting
Legend.
Harada.
Fighting Harada, yeah.
What a champion bloke. Anyway, but the other thing, Jimmy, is Pete Ray hasn't mentioned Panthers this morning yet, so you better get that in, I think.
Don't worry, we'll weave it in somewhere, mate.
Mate, look, the official sponsorship has stopped with the radio station. However, if I know my man Ray like I think I do, there is a...
Osso's dinner coming up shortly this week.
A schnitzel for comment.
There'll be something
going on there, Wayne. Filet mignon, yeah. Good on you, Wayne. Appreciate the call. Keep them coming in. 1353-53 is the open line number. We'll take a break. After the break, we'll be back with, hopefully, we have a chat with Bjorn Baker.
Thursday mornings on Sky Sports Radio.
Looking forward to a chinwag today, as always.
Chinwag with Cossie brings you in-depth chats with racing stars past and present.
Delighted to have a chat with you.
Hear what makes our racing personalities tick. Thursday mornings from 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life? If this sounds like you, then you should give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about combining your unsecured debts into just one weekly repayment tailored to your budget. That's a solution working for you. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Fertile grass, rich soils and expert horse people give New Zealand thoroughbreds a winning edge. Graduates of New Zealand Bloodstock's yearling sales scored 120 stakes wins and 18 Group 1 wins last season alone. They've laid claim to the last five consecutive Australian Oaks and five out of the seven Australasian Group 1 guineas last season. Destined for racetrack stardom, over 1,200 yearlings are on offer at Karaka this summer. New Zealand Bloodstock, where winning begins.
Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. 8:31 on your Sunday morning, and I'm tipping this man woke up with a spring in his step. Well, I hope he did, because he had a two...
Well, maybe not.
Maybe he got a sore head. He had a big day yesterday with $2 million winners at the Gold Coast. Trainer Bjorn Baker's on the line. Bjorn, good morning, and, well, congratulations on a fantastic result for the stable yesterday.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I think Jimmy's probably right. I'd like to wake up with more of a spring in the step. But it's nice to hear from you. I think you lost my number for a few months again.
No, I never lose your number.
There's only one reason for that, Bjorn.
Yes, Jimmy.
You haven't had a winner.
We made up for it yesterday.
Met a few around. What a tea. Come on.
No, you've done very, very well, mate. Congratulations on that. Oh, what about that finish from Egyptian Symbol? At what point did you think, well, hang on, here we go, we're still in this?
Well, I thought she was just bolting on the corner.
Yeah.
But she did have about 15 lengths to make up, so I thought we're probably going to struggle. But she's always found that sort of ability. It's great to really win a decent race with her. She's got a super pedigree, and she's always shown that she's something a little bit special. So it was great to see her.
And Redouble, he's been a work in progress for a couple of seasons now, but you've found the key to him, Bjorn. He's gone back to back, and he's won a $1 million race, the Magic Millions Cup.
Yeah, quite unbelievable. If you had told me that 3 or 4 months ago, I would have said, "Oh, that's what we're aiming for, but we're next to no chance." So. It's amazing when plans come off and things work out really well.
Did you get over to the sales on last night? Because after the couple of big wins, I thought you might have been a little bit more bullish in the market.
No, I thought we bought pretty well during the week, and I wasn't going to do what we did unencumbered a few years ago. And we bid it against each other on the same table, so I didn't want to make the same mistake.
Oh, how did you go for the sales then? How many did you pick up?
Oh, I maybe bought 8 or 9, and I'd struggle to pay for them. But I think I said yesterday, we won't have to sell the house now. We'll be able to a few people in and there were some good clients that had a pretty good day yesterday.
Well, you've had a big week, haven't you, Bjorn? Because not only did you win the $2 million races, Egyptian Symbol and Redouble, Goodfellow was just beat in the third, the Magic Millions Trophy. And I believe it was the 10th wedding anniversary?
Yeah, it was on Thursday night. And Andrew's been a stalwart. It hasn't always been easy, that's for sure.
it was tough when you first came over, wasn't it, mate?
Yeah, it was for sure. Mm. And it's sort of, it's not a game with a set income every week, that's for sure. So it's been a great ride. But she loves Australia. We're not yet citizens. So she did say to me during the week, geez, these Aussies are still world champions at something. Keeping your beer cold.
Oh, there you go. We're not doing too good on the sporting field.
I like the way you said, it has been tough. I'd love to get her take on things. It'd be very different.
No, I was actually looking at it from her point of view.
Exactly.
You what? I'm glad you've got some empathy and some perspective there, Bjorn. That's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. It's good. Great fun.
Now, the winner of Egyptian Symbol came at a price too, and I know how, shrewd and careful you are, Bjorn, so you might have had a double win there. Is that right?
No, I didn't have a bet yesterday. It's sort of the stake money's so good, and I wish I had, but I couldn't catch you. I haven't got any cash on me, but I've got a new $50 note, so I didn't realise that. They're tough things have been.
Oh, you had it there. How important is it for a day like yesterday, Bjorn, when you had the two big winners, you had a narrow second in another $1 million race, and Erythea ran a close fourth in the mare. So you're four runners on a big showcase day like that. How important is that for the stable to perform?
Massive. Yeah, I must say. And I said 2018's been the year of the seconds for me as the stable and my team, which is great. It means the horse is running well, but at the same time, too, it's also frustrating. When Goodfellow came second, I think, oh, geez, this trend's continuing. It's funny how within sort of an hour, things can really turn around, and that's a big day, Magic Millions. A lot of the big owners and Stubmasters and so forth are all up here, so...
Yep.
You've got to get the results on the big days.
Of the eight or nine you bought, is there one in particular that you're most excited about?
I think they're all sort of good horses with good value. What you do, you're able to bring them back, hopefully, every year. You don't have to be winning the two-year-old race or even the three-year-old race. It shows you a horse like Egyptian Symbol. You can keep coming back year after year. You're running for good money. So that's exciting.
Exactly. Yeah. And, Bjorn, just quickly, racing never stops. The stable has one runner today. I think Horn will definitely run at Wellington. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's going out to Wellington. I won the Wellington Boot last year, but one of my first runners was actually in the Wellington Boot when I came over from New Zealand. And I said to my wife, Andrew, I've got a runner in Wellington, so I've got to go out there. I'll be away all Sunday. When you come back through customs, give me some Marmite.
There you go.
So, I don't think you're out there today, obviously, but if you were, just be careful of the cow and calf there at Wellington.
The stakes are good there, James.
Well, eventually they are, yeah. hour and a half later.
We're not invited back there ever again, by the way, Bjorn.
No, we'll be giving the cow and calf a miss today, I'm afraid.
No, fair enough. Fair enough.
How about the sheep and lamb, though?
We better not.
I'm not even going to go there. No, I'm not going to touch that. Are you out of bed yet?
Yeah, I'm well up. We're going to start packing and get the troops on the road.
And just be careful. It sounds like you might have picked up a nasty bug up there on the Gold Coast.
Wouldn't believe it. It's been a tough week and a bit of a flu, it's amazing what you can pick up in Australia.
Mate, we better let you go, mate. This could be one we hold for years and years and years. Good on you, Bjorn. Congratulations on those couple of winners, and great to have you on the program. And you're right, we haven't lost your number, but...
I'll talk to you next week, eh?
Well, yeah, let's see.
Good on you, Bjorn. Congratulations again, mate.
See you guys. Thanks you, so much.
Thanks a lot.
Bjorn Baker in bed on the Gold Coast there. Great to have him on the program. 1353 53, the open line number. Here's an interesting SMS that comes in just before we go to the break, Ray, after what Zorba had to say. Morning, boys. A few things on the no dickhead policy, no troublemakers. Have the Broncos done the right thing by signing Matt Lodge? Arguably, yes. As they seem to have reformed him, and that's the
point.
From what I understand, the reformation of Matt Lodge, you know, hasn't had a drink since being released from that prison. Has done everything I've asked of him, playing really good footy. Will go from strength to strength this year.
And so you can certainly argue people deserve a second chance.
That's right. That's right. Predictions: first coach sack, Brad Arthur. Mm. Second, Nathan Brown. Mm. And Michael Jennings to Manly, who will pay $200,000 of his salary. Eagle Pete. You hope, Eagle Pete. You hope. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to go to a break now. But call that number if you'd like to be part of the double book quiz. Call now. Double book quiz. Score update.
1-0 James Smith.
Call now.
It's a new millennium for racing at Warwick Farm on Inglis Millennium Day, Saturday, February 9. Be trackside for Sydney's first $1 million race day of 2019. Headlined by the $2 million Inglis Millennium for two-year-olds, the $1 million Inglis Sprint and Group 2 Breeders Classic. An exciting day of racing, hospitality and free children's entertainment. Advance tickets from $12. Book now at theraces.com.au.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
60 months interest-free. No deposit, no interest with 60 equal monthly payments until January 2024. Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance. Furniture and bedding, home appliances, televisions and technology. Minimum financed amount $1,000. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. 60 months interest-free store-wide. Big brands, big savings. No deposit, no interest with 60 equal monthly payments until January 2024. Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance on now.
Bravo's there, plenty of experience. Oh, he's gone big. He's gone very big. It's another maximum to Dwayne Bravo.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
All right, still a chance to get on the quiz. You're going to be up against Paul, so call on 1353 53 for your chance to win the double book quiz, the Winx book, as written by Ray Thomas, and, of course, a sports year diary, courtesy of sportsyear.com.au. Call now on 1353 53. Now, last week, you tried something a little bit new.
Yeah, it was a curveball. Didn't work for me.
In 2019, in that you said, right, I'm going to go away from the even numbers, and you went the odd numbers,
and then you had the
loss.
The first ball of the over. It didn't work for me, did it?
No.
I'll let you make the choice today.
All right, well, I'll go one. I'll go player one. I'll be Paul. G'day, Paul.
G'day, guys. How's it going?
Morning,
yeah,
Paul.
Really well, mate. Really well. Here we go. Question one. Last year, Cross Counter won the Melbourne Cup. What was the name of the horse that ran second?
Oh, my God. Do I get a clue?
You do not, I'm afraid, Paul. As much as I'd like to give you a clue.
No idea.
Yeah, tough one, tough one. Marmella, who did this quiz today?
Oh.
Hamish. Animal operator Hamish.
Okay. It's only going to get worse from here. I'm tipping
exactly
Paul
here. Right. Yeah. Yeah, you're right, too. It's ridiculous.
Here we go, Paul. Here we
Question
go.
Two. Roger Federer won his first Australian Tennis Open singles title in 2004. Which American won the men's singles the year before? Was it Andre Agassi, Pete Sampras, or Andy Roddick?
I'll go Andy Roddick.
I don't think Andy Roddick ever won an Australian Open.
That's a tough
Made
one.
A final.
It's Andre Agassi.
Andre Agassi. All right, Paul, here we go. Question three.
Oh, jeez. Oh, Paul, best of luck with this one. It is multiple choice, though. It is multiple choice, mate. You've got some chance.
No.
Here we go.
The World Reindeer Racing Championships take place next month. Which country will they be held in? Is it Iceland, Norway, or Sweden?
I'm I'll go Norway.
Oh, we're in the chance, yeah. I mean,
well done, as you always say, James.
Well, if there's one country you think when you think reindeer.
Reindeer racing championships,
Norway.
Yeah.
Norway.
The infrastructure's there,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Well done, Paul.
Good
stay
on you, Paul.
On
stay on the line.
Shane's there. Shane, good morning.
Morning, Ray. Morning, Jimmy.
Hey, Shane, 1-2, 2-2, mate. How are you feeling?
Oh, confident as ever.
Here we go, mate. Here we go. Question number one. Last year, 2018, Redzel won the Everest. Which horse ran second?
English.
It was Trapeze Artist. Trials Tuesday morning. Question number two. Here we go, Shane. We'll get back on track here. When Roger Federer won his first Australian Tennis Open singles title, which Russian player did he beat? Was it Marat Safin, Yevgeny Kafelnikov, or Dmitry Tsurnov?
Safin.
Oh, well done. Oh,
good. That's when all Marat the Safinets Safin. Used to go to the tennis.
Four or five girls in the stand. Yeah, no, it's amazing. Yeah. And question, here we go, Shane, this is for the game. Which of these is not an event at the annual Cotswold Olympic Games held in the English county of Gloucestershire? Tug of war, shin kicking, or bog snorkeling?
Bog snorkeling.
Oh, you're spot on. Well, how'd you know that, Shane?
I didn't.
That's impossible. Congratulations, mate. There we go. Thanks, James, back on a level playing field. We'll get those two books out on the line, Shane. Get those two books out to you ASAP if our system works, James.
When does producer Steve return?
What's that?
When does producer Steve return, who previously has been in charge of the quiz?
Well, Steve's away, isn't he, for another week?
One more week.
And you're going
but on, I'm away for a
you're
week.
You're going on holidays, aren't you?
So you'll be subjected to those questions from Hamish again next week.
That's where you're coming
from. Phil Moss will be sitting in this chair for me, and then we'll be back and normal programming will be resumed. Thank you. Good on you. Well done, Shane. Stay on the line. We'll send you out your prize. It's the double book quiz. The Winx book, courtesy of by Ray Thomas, courtesy of whoever it was, the publisher that's got Ray
I'll
Thomas.
Keep his name quiet for time.
To write the book, FOC. and, of course, the Sports Year free of charge. Sports Year Diary.
It's the story of my life.
sportsyear.com.au.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. No problem.
The open line number. What would you like? How many words? Yeah, no worries. Have it in by Tuesday. Let's go to callers there. Ray is on the line. We're talking today, too, about the brush with fame. You know, when the youngster or the, didn't have to be a youngster, when you bumped into people who were absolute sporting stars. G'day, Ray.
How you going, fellas?
Yeah, morning, really well, mate.
Firstly, I'd like to say that the wingman was good before 10 consumed.
Ah, there we go.
Hang on, so you've already had some wingman.
Well, my son did, he's given it a hit, so he said it was all right.
There we go.
Very good.
In the game.
So
yeah.
Thanks for that, fellas. Brush with fame was, as a kid, just being at Redfern Oval and going down and getting all the players' signatures, and the coach, the Churchill and Sims and Sattlers and Goose and O'Neills. I still got the book, too. So.
Yeah, cool.
That was always a good memory as a kid, just with those guys, because they were the heroes back in those days.
Yeah. The good old days, wasn't it, Ray, when you could sprint onto the field after a game and run up to the players who looked like...
the corner post.
Yeah, exactly. You always miss out. Go alongside these players who look so big and huge when you're a kid,
and
get their autographs. And they were all pretty much obliging most of the time, weren't they, Ray?
Yeah, and they still are today. Yeah. The footballers are good guys to get around with kids. They generally promote the game pretty well. So there's
good
people
point.
Feds there that don't, but... generally, the majority of guys are good.
Yeah,
good call, Ray.
Good on you, Ray.
Thanks,
I remember jumping the fence at Arana Park mid-'80s, and the Dragons had just played the Western Suburbs Magpies, and John Fifita, I was patting him on the back.
Yeah.
John, I thought, my
how
God,
this bloke?
He's a mountain. He's incredible. Ray and Jimmy, I win. Having brushed with over a dozen sports stars when I was working at the airport, the most awestruck I felt was when Adam Gilchrist, Ricky Ponting and Freddie Flintoff arrived. Speaking of stars doing good deeds, they were here for a backyard cricket match for a family in Taree who were going through hard times with their daughter, Vicky at Port Macquarie.
Good call, Vicky.
Great one, Vicky. Yeah. Appreciate that. Hello, Keith.
Boys, how are you?
Really
morning,
well,
Keith.
Mate.
Well, mate, I've got a long rugby league history around my area and been involved in the game a long time. Mm. And the local pub that I frequent here, there was a bloke that I used to drink with nearly twice a week, and he was the local wharf. He worked on the wharves, and all the boys used to come up and have a drink after work and before work sometimes, and in a break. And I'd been drinking with this bloke for about 18 months, and bloke came up and said, oh, have you seen Eric today? And I went, no. He said, I said, why? There's Eric who? He said, Eric, he drinks with you all the time. And I said, no, mate. I said, I haven't seen him. And he said, oh, well, he said, I have to go and look for him. And I said, why, mate? And he said, oh, I want him to go and do a thing for South. I said, well, who is it? He said, Eric Sims.
Eric Sims.
I'd been drinking with the bloke for about 18 months. I probably would have seen about 4 grand finals he played in. And
yeah.
I didn't even recognise him.
Humble fella, eh?
Didn't mention
humble
it.
Fella.
He never mentioned once about him playing. And we spoke about rugby league races and
everything.
Politics and that, mate. And never, ever once did he mention who he was in the game, you know?
Absolute
legend. He was just a quiet, just a normal bloke to have a drink with in the pub, and not once did he say who he was. And I used to drink with Bobby Grant there at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I knew who Bobby was, but Eric had changed a fair bit. He'd lost a bit of hair and wore glasses. And, mate, he was just the most affable bloke that you could ever meet, you know?
Good on you,
Keith. Great story, Keith.
Yeah, good yarn. Good yarn. Humble champion.
Exactly, yeah.
He was a bloke who they changed the rules for him.
Just one of the great goal kickers of all time.
And the field goal exponent. They changed
2 points
the rules.
Down to one, wasn't it?
Yeah. 13-53-53, the open line number. Joe's on the line. G'day, Joe.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Really well,
good morning,
mate.
Joe.
What do you got?
Well, I was driving a cab for Legion back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I drove past Checkers in Pitt Street in the city.
Yeah.
Put these two blokes up from there. This is about 5 o'clock. 5 a.m. in the morning. I'm driving out there, and I looked in the rear vision mirror, and I thought, geez, I know them blokes. And one was Chuck Raper, and the other one was Normie Henderson. And when we went over the Captain Cook Bridge, Chuck said, pull over, driver. He said, and let me out. And I said, yeah, okay. And Normie said, well, you take me on from there. And I said, what's he doing? He said, oh, he just wants to run the grog off, like, you know. And anyway, I found out later on, I used to play the match of the day in those days,
mm-hmm.
And he came out and won the match of the day, and the man of the match, sorry.
Yeah.
And unbeknownst to me, I was to Standy, the operator, and the word had got out to Bill Morty about him being on the grog, or sure, been on the grog, you know.
Yeah.
And
he
backed the opposition that day. He got his fingers burnt.
Oh, yeah. Good on you, Joe. That's an apocryphal story there about Johnny Raper doing that. I don't think he did it every week. He might have done it once. He might have done it twice. But there you go. What an outstanding player. Good on you, Joe. Appreciate that. 13-53-53 is the open line number. We'll take a break. And then after the break... Oh, we got another call there. And just before we go to the break, Wayne's on the line. G'day, Wayne.
G'day, Ray. How are you?
Morning, Wayne.
Jimmy. Yeah. First time caller, but when I was about 12, it was at Condell Park High School, primary school, and I used to play cricket with Jeff Thompson. And we were playing for Padstow Pirates one day, and Jeff got, we got a team out for 10. Jeff got 9 for 1.
Oh.
I got 1 for 9, and the guy that I got out was scared of facing Jeff,
a 12-year-old. How fast was he back then, Wayne?
He had the sling action, and he was very fast, and after that day, my dad said to me, Jeff will play for Australia one day.
Wow, yeah, there you go. Right. So he's even bowling that extraordinary action even way back then.
We used to get tennis balls, and we wet them in the back of the backyard, his backyard or our backyard, and he'd be able to bounce the tennis ball over the house with that sling action.
Yeah.
It would have been so hard to face that bloke. You could never see the ball coming from behind his back.
It goes behind his body, yeah.
Yeah.
He used to make an approach to the wicket at half the speed that Dennis Lilly approached the wicket.
Mm.
And yet he'd bowl faster. He'd bowl faster.
Incredible action.
Yeah. Great call, Wayne. Good on you, mate. Appreciate that. 13-53-53, open line number. A break and then back with more.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
English graduates dominated the spring three-year-old classics. Extra Brute in the Derby.
He's strong. He wins the Derby. Extra Brute from Stafford.
Aristia in the Oaks.
Aristia won the Oaks from Graceful Glamour.
And the Autumn Sun in the Guineas. Where will the smart buyers be in 2019? English.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Is he a two-time winner at Wimbledon, Andy Murray?
Yes, back to back.
And he certainly won the Olympic gold medal there
too.
So fond memories for him. He'll probably bow out there this year. Let's hope
he's going to try to. This one's Craig from Tamworth. Morning, boys. I can confirm that Bjorn Baker has a cold. I always have a cold the day after punishing myself on the drink.
Oh, hang on.
And remember to drink responsibly, Craig from Tamworth. That's a good point.
This is a good one from Master Monkey. Ray, any quiet tips on today's reindeer races? I believe the track is a heavy 20. Thank you, Master. Yeah, Ray hasn't done the form on that, but when he does, we'll put those tweets out on social media.
The reindeer racing from Norway.
The reindeer Jimmy and Ray, my brush was back in 1989 when Jeff Harding walked into my local hotel not long after his courageous victory over Dennis Andres, and I said, can I buy a world champion a beer? And he said, you certainly can. That's
Jeff Harding.
John from Moorbank.
One of the greatest comebacks of all time in boxing history, Jeff Harding. How he did it, I do not know. Paul's on the line. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Terrific, mate. What do you got for us, Paul?
Oh, I've met a couple of legends in my lifetime. The one that sticks out the most to me is, I'm like a lot of people, I always admire the humble champions.
Yep.
And there was an era when the Tigers won the grand final in 1969.
Yes.
And I had to work late. My mother rang me up and said, can you pick me up? Mum and Dad up at Balmain Leagues Club. I did that, and when I walked in, she was sitting down with Barry McTaggart and Keith Out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, oh, my God. And anyway, my mother had had a few drinks and yakking away, and of course it was here, there was no television, and it was all Frank Hyde.
Yeah.
And I admired Keith Out because he wasn't the greatest player, but he was tough as teeth.
Right.
And, of course, listen to the radio, I'd say this, that and the other. So, sitting there anyway, my mother turns around to Keith Out and says, my son idolises you. And, of course, I wanted the ground to swallow me up. And Keith Out and said, listen, Mary, you shouldn't say that. Blokes don't like that sort of thing. Anyway, that was that. Anyway, they won the grand final. I was in the Leagues Club. It was shoulder to shoulder. Dawn Fraser's running up and down the bar. I could see Bobby Fulton trying to get into the club. And a guy pushed his way through the crowd with his hand out and said, how do you think we went? And it was Keith Out.
Wow. Yeah, fair you go. Yeah.
And that was very humble. I'd only met him the once, but he remembered me. He's probably one of the few people that do remember me.
Yeah, he made a point of saying good day too. Yeah.
Yes, he did. And there was another one that I met was, I was a technician and I was working in a bar at Miranda.
Yeah.
And there was this, I could feel this guy shadowing me. And then he said, excuse me, can you explain what you're doing? I turned around, it was Steve Rogers. When he was at his peak. And he was an absolute gentleman. And they're my favourite type of people.
Yeah, good on you, Paul. Yeah. Great call, mate. Keith Outen, he played for the Tigers in 69. Had a car accident in the beginning of that year, but ended up playing in the grand final, and then went to North, and then later captain coach Yanko.
There you go.
Down there in the Riverina. 1353-53. Just another call quickly before we get to the 9 o'clock news. Another Paul. G'day, Paul.
Good morning.
How are you, Paul?
Very well, thank you.
What do you got for us, mate?
Mate, many years ago, I think about 67 or 68, I was doing my apprenticeship as a golf professional. And in Newcastle, I had to go over to Stockton one day with my boss in those days, and a lady called Margie Masters, who was one of the Australia's pioneer lady professionals.
Right.
And to make the group, the third was the bloke called Arnold Palmer.
Oh, you're kidding.
What?
No, I'm not kidding. And I pushed the boss's bag and I pulled his, and I think I had Margie's over the shoulder. Anyway, they played about 8 holes and said, we're just going to duck in and have a drink. And Arnold said, or Mr. Palmer, of course, it was in those days.
Yes.
He said to me, would you like to go and have a hit? Here's my club. He said, take them out and go and play a few holes while we refresh ourselves.
Yeah.